2 weeks ago, we had on Friday a movie, and I have to be honest, the movie didn't, for me, it was not so super good, but something touched me very much. When Jesus was alive again out of the grave, he appeared to the disciples after that they have fished a whole night without any success. So they were fishing the whole night to see if they can eat something, but they couldn't. And they saw a man on the shore and he said, "So from which you catch anything, do you have any meat?" And he said, "No, sorry, we don't have any meat." So he said, "Catch your net on the other side, on the right side of the ship." And they did. And they catched 153 big fish. The Bible records the exact number because Christ has made no mistakes. Amen. So this is what I feel so many times when I preach to you. Yeah, it's like that fisherman in the night. I'm just fishing. I'm just preaching the word of God to you. I'm just throwing my net again and again and again. And it's like nothing happens. Nothing comes. But I know when God is with me. When Jesus tells me, "Put your net one more time in the water, you will catch fish." And the Bible says they were great fish. Great fish. So I know, for I have prayed, last Friday we were here, and we prayed a prayer, especially for you today, that when we start to preach, God will cast his net upon you.
Amen.
And he will bring you, and that net will never fail. It will not break, for it is the net of his grace, the net of his love, and it may touch you. So let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much. Lord, you have brought us here together to worship your holy name. You have brought us from Ghana, from our various places, from our various homes, with different backgrounds, but Lord, you have brought us all here together for a purpose, to worship you. And therefore, Lord, I pray, have mercy upon your beloved children, that all that are here listen and be attentive to your word. O Lord, grant them greatness and power. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The story of Nehemiah was a reading, and as we read the Bible, I read the first chapter. And it's like the story starts when you open a new book. You start reading. I don't know if there are some many people of you are reading, but sometimes when you read a nice storybook, you read the first chapter and you are curious. What will happen? What will be next? And this one I was with me too, because he prayed a prayer and he was so grieved. And I tell you this, in this world there are still people hearing about you, hearing about your state, how you live, what you do in your life, how some of you are still lost, how some of you still don't know Christ. And these people, they are praying in the night for you. They are praying for you. And so was Nehemiah praying for the people of Israel. He said, "Look at them. They are living in a city that is completely destroyed. All the houses are burned flat. The wall is completely destroyed." Oh God, and grieved. And so God has put in at the heart of some to join you together in the God's assembly. And it's no mistake, people, that it's no mistake that you are here is for a purpose. And that you are here is because you are God's people.
Amen.
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 I know you are alive. I know you are alive. If we ask you to dance, you don't hardly shake your body. But I know you are alive. God has given you a heart.
Amen.
I saw it when Emiliana's father died. I saw all of you grieving for her, going to her house, being with her. You have a heart.
Amen.
And God bless you for that.
Amen.
But there's much more for you to do. Much more for you to do. Amen.
Amen.
So Nehemiah was grieved. And he was the cupbearer of the king of Persia. A great and mighty king. And he was downcast. So he was grieving. So when he put wine in the cup of the king, he saw it. He said, "What's going on, Nehemiah? Your face is downcast. What is your problem?" And he became very, very, very shaky because he didn't realize that he was having that attitude. He said, "Oh my God, maybe I will be thrown into the fire or what?" So he told the king his heart. He says, "My people in Jerusalem, they live and they are reproached. People laugh at them. They laugh at them because their war is completely, everything is being destroyed. So that is why I am grieved." He says, "You know what? You go there. You go there and see what has to be done. How long do you think you need?" So Nehemiah, the Bible doesn't say how long the time was. But the king, there in that verse, you can see that the king really loved him and he didn't want him to go so long. Yeah? It's like me. My boss really needs me. Yeah? I also am blessed with somebody who really, really needs me. So if I want to take 4 weeks free, he will never allow me. Ever. Never. 2 weeks maximum. Because he needs me. Otherwise, things go wrong. Yeah, so he doesn't want me to live long. So next year, we want to go to Ghana. I'm even afraid to ask him for 4 weeks, but I will try. You will see what will happen. Amen.
Amen.
So, but this is what happened. So he went there, and he came to the kings and governors of Jerusalem in that place. And when they heard the news that there was a man who really cares about these people in Jerusalem, they were grieved. Can you imagine that? That somebody who says, "How is Deborah doing?" And that the man in his heart thinks, "What? Who cares about Deborah? Who cares? How even you consider her in your mind?" They were grieved. And so if you are here, there are people that don't like it. They want you to be somewhere else. They are grieved. It was then and it is still now. It will never change. As long as this world is, this is going on. In your life, there are people who don't want you to be here. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But in the night, he went into Jerusalem. No one knew what he was doing. So he went alone, only with his animal he drove upon. But the city was just a ruin. Even animals couldn't walk there. So he was maybe with a donkey or a horse, I don't know. But he had to climb the wall himself and look upon it. And then he came back to all the people of Jerusalem. And he said, and that's why I want to entitle this, "Let us build the wall."
Amen.
Let us build the wall. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So I tell you now, let us build a wall. What is that, a wall? What is that meaning for a city in that time? There were robbers. There were enemies. There were beasts. Lions. There were lions. That wall was for protection. So let us build a wall for protection. That wall was showing that God was great. For the God of heaven has put his name there. That wall, if it is all complete, it shows that God is alive. That wall was important for them. But it was completely waste. All the doors were kaput, everything. So he asked them, "Are you willing to help to build this wall? Are you? And these same rulers, they laughed. They laughed. They said, are you going to build this? Oh, it will never finish. Never. And they planned even in their minds. If you really start succeeding, I'll come in the night and destroy it for you so that the next morning you have to start again. That was in their mind. They laughed. They tried to discourage them. But no, they didn't. And there were very few who started building the wall of Jerusalem. There were very few. So it's like 100 people, it were more, but let's say a city like Rotterdam, a wall all around it, but there were only 1,000 people. Can you imagine that? If that is not discouraging, he said, hey, so much work for so little people, how can it be done? Well, if God is with us, all things are possible.
Amen.
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 So they started the wall, and I read Nehemiah before, and when you read it, and the next, I will start by verse 5. Maybe Felina can help me once in a while with some verses. But it says, and next, let's start with 5. And next unto them, the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of their lord. Moreover, the old gate repaired Jehodiah, the son of Pisha, and Mesulam. If you want to struggle with words, this is it. The son of Beshida. They laid the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof and locked thereof. And it continues. So when you are reading it, I'm also a human being. You say, yeah, well, this doesn't help me. What has it to do with me that this person did this and did this person that? But the verse 5 says the nobleman didn't do anything. Didn't do anything. And if you read the end of chapter 2, he says, if you don't do anything, you have no part in Jerusalem. You have no part. So if you are not building the wall, you have no part. Let that come into your ears. If you don't, are you not willing to do anything for the church, for your people, for your brethren and sisters, then you have no part of the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
But if you can read, what you can read, for instance, is that if you read 11, can you read 11?
Yeah.
Nehemiah
3, verse 11 says, Malchiah, the son from Sharon, and Shabsuk, the son from Shabbat Mubab, herstelde het gedeelte dat daarop aanstoot en het bak over toren.
Amen. So there was a special place which is written in the Bible, yeah, and the people could go there and say, this were the sons of this person who built this. And so there is also work for you here in this church. And your name is written in heaven. Your name is written in heaven. It will be recorded that you have done this thing. You see that? That one was bought by Emmanuel. He bought it with his own money. It is written in heaven that he did so. You came here to sing Amazing Grace. It is written in heaven that you blessed us with your song. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your work, what you do here, it is being seen and heard in heaven above.
Amen.
This is the proof. Everything is written down in details. So let us see details. Go to verse 20. This Baruch, if you want to call a son, call him Baruch, because this man is. If you read it, it says, this person repaired, this person repaired, this person repaired. But by Baruch, they added one word.
Ik lees. Baruch, de zoon van Zattai, herstelde met grote ijver een stuk dat daarop aansloot. Namelijk vanaf het boek tot aan de ingang van het huis van de hoge priester Eliasi.
Amen.
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 He, the King James Version, he says he did it earnestly. And if you read the Hebrew word, what it means, he said with fire. With fire. I tell you, you need to work in this house of God with fire.
Amen.
You have to be ready. Last Friday, unfortunately, we forgot to put the preacher there, so there was no preacher. There was no preacher. So I put in the group, we have an app for the elders. So Andrews, me, and Elder Albert was there. I said, so from, unfortunately, we don't have a preacher tonight. Who can preach tonight? And 1 second later, Elder Albert, I said, I'm ready. So I didn't understand him really, but I said, to do what? He said, to preach. I said, that is on fire.
Amen.
That is ready. And you also need to be ready to work here. If you say, come, sing, you have to sing, even if you can't.
Amen.
Even if you can't.
Amen.
If you ask me, say, I'm a fruit. My fruit, I have geschreeuwd and I have pain. No. Be ready. Be on fire.
Amen.
Because that is written in the heaven above. I never read this. Because I said, yeah, this person did it. Yeah. What is it for me? But I struggled over that word. I looked it up in the Hebrew and it says, this man was on fire.
Amen.
He was working hard. And believe me, that wall was perfect.
Amen.
That war was perfect. So they continued. They continued. And something happened. These people that laughed, they become very angry now. Because they saw that this war was finished up fast. So fast they were even amazed. So they said, let us go in the night to this place and burn it. But just pull this new build walls. Let us bring it down. But God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Put it in Nehemiah's heart. And he says, this is their plan. Be prepared. And he let half of the people be guard, while the other half was working. And every worker had a sword on his side. Ready to fight. Ready to fight. For the wall. For the church. And you also need to be ready to fight for this church. And it is not a fight with swords that we kill some other people. No, it is ready with your mouth. Ready to defend your sister. Your brother. Yes. You need to be ready. So all the time, day and night, there were people working on that wall. And also, they were all the time standing next to them, watchers, watching over them.
Amen.
And this is also your task here. Your sister next to you, you have to watch her. You are the guard. Yeah? They learned it in the army. They said, you cover me. They said, oh, it's cover me. So they start shooting on one side so that the enemy is not daring to shoot back. And the man can run. So the other man is covering the other while he is running. So we need to cover each other.
Amen.
We need to defend each other. If we hear konkonsa about somebody else, you say, no, I will not hear one bad thing about this person. She is my sister.
Amen.
I will not hear it.
Amen.
Shame on you.
Amen.
That you even say these things. You need to be on fire for God's word.
Amen.
You need to work for this church. I'm not this church. You are.
Amen.
You are the church. And you need to build. So you need to be ready to defend your sisters.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, let us read something, because there is something that Paul wants about when we come to dine at the table. He says, if you do certain things, you sin against the body. You sin against the body. And this is actually something that you really have to realize. We are all members, and we no coincidence you are here to be one body with one another. Everybody has his function. Everybody has his own function. All the men, you have your function here. Yes? And not to warm the chairs only, but also other things. Everybody has his function, but we are one body, and if you have one body, God asks you to care for one another as it is your own body. Well, I tell you, I don't know if one of you had ever teeth pain in the tongue. Did you ever? Did you ever have pain in your teeth? I tell you, it is terrible. When you tie your shoes, boom, 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 all the time you have it. You don't think of it, you open your mouth, ayo! It's again. When one of us is in pain, it should have been the same result in every single member of us. There comes a point that the tooth pain is so much that you cannot think of anything else than only that. The whole time your hand is here. The rest of your body is functioning perfectly. Your brain is functioning, everything. You can talk, eat, drink, everything is good. Only that small teeth is pain. So when one of us is in trouble, we should not stop working until it is solved. That is covering each other. That is loving each other. That is what God wants us. He prayed that they may be one, God. He prayed again that they may be one, God. He prayed again that they may be one. This is Jesus' prayer for you, that you all together be one person. Amen. And that is his pride. Amen.
Amen.
He wants you to cover each other. So let us read something from Romans 12, verse 5. Romans 12, verse 5.
It lees, dezelfde manier vormen wij met ons allen het lichaam door onze eenheid met Christus en we zijn ieder afzonderlijk als delen van het lichaam met elkaar verbonden. Amen.
Amen. We are connected. Maybe you don't like it that you are connected with a telescope like me, but you are. You are. Yes? You are. You're connected with your sister next to you, but also with that brother there. You're connected. You are all brought here to be one body. This is so important because this is actually what the enemy wants to destroy. This is what he hates about Christianity. This is what he hates so deeply, that we are one body, that we are one family, that we love one another, that we defend one another, that we do anything that needs to be done for one another. Amen. If that is in us, the world, if he sees it, they hate it. They truly hate it. And so, when it was finished, I tell you, the war was finished in 52 days. Can you imagine that? Nebuchadnezzar came with his great and powerful army, destroyed the whole city, the whole wall. Every door was completely burned down. And remember that Nebuchadnezzar was the greatest king of all, and his army was like a metal hammer, crushing anything. When he destroyed something, he really, really destroyed it. It was not little. It was really destroyed. 52 days later, the wall was standing. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
So I ask you, in 52 days from now, this church will be completely changed.
Amen.
And it's not by me, but by you. It's by him. So are you ready to do that? When the people heard that the war was finished, they were so full of hate. But they also realized that God was with them. Because no way a little people like that can build a wall all the way around Jerusalem. No way. No way. Okay, let us read 1 Peter 2, verse 1 to 6.
Petrus 2, 1 tot en met 6. Weg dus, met elke vorm van slechtheid en bedrog, buigerij, afgunst en laster. Verlang als pasgeboren kinderen naar de pure geestelijke melk, die zult erdoor groeien en gered worden. Als u tenminste geproefd hebt hoe goed de Heere is. Sluit u aan bij hem. Hij is de levende steen, afgekeurd door de mensen, maar voor God zo kostbaar dat hij hem uitkoos. U moet zelf de levende steen zijn, waarmee de geestelijke tempel wordt gebouwd. Vorm een heilige priesterschap, dat geestelijke offers brengt die God aangenaam zijn door Jezus Christus. Daarom staat er in de schrift, ik leg in Zion een kostbare hoeksteen, die ik zelf heb uitgekozen. Wie in hem gelooft, wordt niet teleurgesteld. Amen.
Amen. If you read carefully verse 5, he said, also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You are a living stone. When Simon was there, Jesus said to him, your name is Peter. Your name is Peter. My name is also Jan Peter, John Peter. Yeah? And Peter means flint of a stone. So when you hit a stone, a small piece comes off. And that word is Peter. You are a lively stone, and upon you I will build a church. That's what he says. Jesus is the cornerstone. We build the church upon him. And I am just a living part of it. And you too. You all are a living part of it. But I tell you this, there are ways to work. Yeah, I am working with a girl. She had breast cancer. Her name is Dave. And when she was away, you saw how hard she works. How unbelievable much she does. She has ADHD, I think, because she is always. But I tell you this, I learned one great thing from her. She is always ready to help. She is always, when a customer comes, they know, phew, she's there. You have not even a chance to help. Phew, she's there. And she starts helping the customer. The second one comes in, and she says, wait, I come to you. While she helps the other one, she says, oh, you need a liquid? Oh, wait, I will help this. A third man comes. She can help four people at the same time and they're all happy. They're all happy. She has power. She is on fire to do the work. She's ready. But there are people among us, ding dong, and they say, oh yeah, I had to do this, and they wait until the other ones goes, thank God he goes. And I don't have to do it. And also among you, there are people like that. You walk by the toilet, and he said, beetje urine lucht hier, eh? You think, Dickness root comes in. That's not helping. Are you on fire or not? Are you willing to help this church or not? Are you a lively stone of this church? Are you part? Then also say, oh, I smell something, let me clean it. Immediately. And then you come up and you say, hey, the floor. Oh my God, this is feast. You don't say, well, I just did the toilet, somebody else has to do this. I said, let me clean the floor as well. Yeah? That is being alive. That is being ready. That is doing the right thing. And that is being recorded in heaven above. Yes. There are some pastors, they let their everything be done for them. Everything being done for them. There's no record of that in heaven. But those that do the cleaning, the outside, there's a record from them above.
Amen.
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 So it is not upon you to decide who to do what. If you see something and you want to do it, you all come here in the entrance. You see how bad the painting is. Then, some of you can paint or not. Some of you can do something. You walk always by, you see how ugly it is. Have you ever considered doing something about it? 52 days I give you. I want to see how alive you are. I know God has given you a heart. I know there is something inside of you that is alive. I want to see it. Prove that you are ready. I tell you, children of your age have children themselves. Children of your age have lost a mother and father and taken care of their other children, other sisters and brothers. Going to work, no school, but having just one thing in mind, I have to do what I have to do. I take care of my sister. I take care of my brother. I take care of my old grandma. If I don't work, she will not eat, so I will work. So you are alive. You are a stone of this church. You are ready to build. Stop wasting your time.
Amen.
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 Stop wasting your time. It's time for this church to grow.
Amen.
Yeah?
Amen.
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 Yes?
Yeah.
It's time. It's time. So let's go and build this wall. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you.